we may have been covering the gaps poorly, albeit, but we have not been giving an intro.
Right.
There's that, and also the fact I told my mom I'd send her the episodes after episode one, and we're now on the fifth. So, hi, Mom. I'll send you this one, maybe.
It's so kind of you.
Well, Matthew.
Nicholas.
Gap to Gap podcast. I guess that's an intro.
Nailed it first time. So, go for it.
The AL West is still awful-ish.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming.
The Mariners were the only team in the division that had a positive run differential, and they lost 5-0 to the Yankees yesterday, and they now have a run differential of -4. So that leaves every team in the division having a negative run differential.
I mean, it's almost June, and that was not... Certainly wasn't on my radar. I know it wasn't on anyone else's. I mean, I think the most negative view you could have taken is two out of the four teams that played really well last year would have a bad first 2 months. Not all four of them.
Yeah.
And then the A's being as good as they are also doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, unless you're an actual fan of any of those teams.
That's true. As a Mariners fan, it has not been fun. I mean, it's been nice to know that we're only 27 and 24, yet many games ahead of the Astros, which no one saw coming. The bad news is that's definitely going to come back to haunt us later when the Astros pick it up and nobody ran away with the division while they were terrible.
As a general rule, it's not good to feel bad for your closest opponents.
Yeah. That being said, the negative run differential, I believe, is also happening in the NL Central, with the exception of the Milwaukee Brewers, who have a +38.
Yeah, I'm still shocked that the Cubs are above 500. It makes no sense to me. I can't really point to more than one stretch of the season where they were obviously playing well. The offense has been slumping for the better part of 3 weeks now. Starting pitching definitely started coming around. I think it was for about the first month. They're one of the few teams to not have a starting pitcher throw it a single pitch in the sixth inning. They've sorted that out over the last 3 weeks, which is good. Bullpen is kind of up and down. I mean, you can't really be too mad about it. Been decimated by injuries as well. But yeah, the offense is scary bad. Still kind of waiting on Bellinger to turn things around. Christopher Morel has a ton of potential to turn around, but yeah, it's just a whole lot of nothing, and yet they're still three games over 500.
They firmly hold an NL wildcard spot.
I mean, it's a lot better to be a couple games over 500 and look back at your season and go, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
As opposed to, wow, we've been really bad and we're 10 games under 500 and I think the season's over already. You know, you could be the Angels.
I mean, the Mariners are doing the same thing. Julio Rodriguez just keeps getting bumped down in the lineup as he tries to figure it out. So when your $500 million superstar struggles, at least there's utility man Dylan Moore to save the day somehow.
Everybody needs a utility man to save the day. As of the beginning of the game yesterday, Mike Tauchman was leading the Cubs team in OPS.
Incredible.
I will give mad props to anyone listening to this who knows who Mike Tauchman is. So that's the Cubs season. That's the Mariners season.
Yeah. The last time we talked about the Twins, they were in the midst of their rally sausage induced 12 game winning streak.
Yeah.
And I would just like to blame my near and dear best friend in the whole world, fiance, for ruining it. We were watching a game quite a while ago now, and she said, that guy looks like a Disney prince, pointing to Max Kepler. And God, that was the least incorrect statement I've ever heard. And ever since then, they have been awful. They have been awful since that very moment.
I will never be able to look at him the same.
I can't either. And it's just...
Yeah.
Apparently the Twins can't play the same either, which is understandable.
Are they all collectively getting lost in his eyes? Is that the problem?
I can only assume, because I haven't been able to pay enough attention to what's going on, because I am too lost in his eyes at this point.
I mean, it sounds like happiness, to be honest. So
they were doing so well. The Cleveland Guardians are 9-1 in their last 10, and they are now running away with the division. Speaking of which,
go for it.
The Tampa Bay Rays, we were looking the other day at, wow, they have a -29 run differential, and they hold a wild card spot over the Red Sox, who had a, I think it was a positive 29 run differential at the time. Almost kind of looked like how the Marlins were at this point in the season last year. Just a terrible run differential, but they would win their one run games. And then the Rays got smoked. And now they have a -40 run differential, and they no longer lead the Red Sox. So that, like, oh, the Rays are kind of funky right now, is way less cool. But they're still, you know, they're still hanging on in the race, obviously. They're just 1.5 games back of the Red Sox after that series. Man, it'd be interesting to see another Florida team do it again this year. Sneak into the playoffs with a horrible run differential. Probably get killed in the playoffs. Yeah, I guess it's just the way of the Sunshine State.
They're contractually obligated to have one team be confusingly successful.
Speaking of which, the Miami Marlins are 7-3 in their last 10, and they have 5 walk-off wins, a lot of them recent. And it's gotten to the point where if I'm scrolling through games to watch because the Mariners are down by 8 and I no longer want to be watching that, if the Marlins are heading into like the bottom of the 8th or top of the 9th only down by 1 run, I start to get this feeling of, well, this is probably a fun game to watch. They'll likely win this one, which is a bad feeling to have because that is not going to keep happening.
No.
But it is fun. And there's something that's really exciting about, even though there's only 20 people in the stands, it is so fun when all 20 are excited at the same time.
You just feel really good for them, you know?
But they're not the worst team in baseball anymore.
No.
They're actually only the 3rd worst team in baseball after trading away their worst player.
Yeah, they're 17-34, which I believe is a 333 win percentage.
Yes.
Right?
Good math.
To go 7-3 in your last 10 and pull yourself up to that mark is,
yeah,
man, that's yikes.
A tough one.
I will say, when you know that your team is having just a terrible year, no one thought that they were going to be good. They're making good on that promise. There are these little pockets where they actually play well. Those little moments go such a long way in fans' general enjoyment of the summer.
Absolutely.
Because if you're just the White Sox and, you know, you never win back-to-back games, it gets really, really difficult. Because I feel like the Marlins still have some interesting players to watch. Even Colorado does, one of the other teams in the bottom 3. But I don't know if you can really say that about the White Sox.
I don't know, man. They got this young rising star, Tommy Pham, in the outfield.
Top prospect, Tommy Pham.
Their only series win came against the Tampa Bay Rays, unfortunately, for Rays fans.
Oh.
Some other notable teams, the Houston Astros, we previously mentioned, they're sort of clawing their way back, 7-3 in their last 10. Unfortunately for the rest of the AL West, that has not ran away with the division while they could.
Right.
The San Francisco Giants, St. Louis Cardinals, who were just awful, also sort of clawing their way back. The Giants are now only 1 game back out of a wild card spot of the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis Cardinals are now only 2 games back of that wild card spot. I know it's really early to be talking wild card spots, but that's sort of the only metric we have. Not that 27-26 is a great record to have and still be in a wild card spot, but that's where the Padres are. And these teams that were just awful, if we talked 2 weeks ago, are now kind of clawing their way back in it. So it'll be interesting to watch.
The NL, it's pretty top heavy. The Phillies are having a great year. The Dodgers are going. Milwaukee's having a great year. The Braves are still doing Braves things. Cubs and Padres are kind of hanging on. They're kind of in the middle. And then everybody else is under 500, which means that you're going to have some teams who objectively are not having good years. And the Cardinals, how much talk has been swirling around them about blowing it up? And just outside of a wild card spot. Like, they actually have things to play for.
Absolutely.
Now, whether or not that's still true in another 6 weeks, I mean, that's why you play the games, but it's odd to have both of those things be true.
Agreed.
That's baseball in 2024.
Just how the ball bounces.
Yes. BABIP, everybody's favorite batting average on balls in play, and just overall batting average for all players in baseball. It's down this year. There's a ton of players, specifically on the Cubs, because that's the team that I watch, but every single series, there are specific notes on other teams' players who are normally really good and have really good external numbers, peripheral numbers, you know, exit velocity, hard hit rate, walk rate, strikeout rate, all that kind of stuff that looks good, but just the numbers aren't there. And I do think that a large part of that has to do with the cards that players have and that they reference, not just with each batter, but as the at-bat goes along and the count changes, they change their position.
Yes.
And it's constant. When I first started watching baseball, and many of us first started watching baseball, those adjustments would come from an assistant coach yelling at you from the dugout. And it would not happen after every single pitch. It's a pretty common occurrence, and I'd love your take on this, but one thing that I have started noticing a ton over the last few years is the number of really good at-bats that end with the batter either going the other way with a pitch or really turning on a ball, and a fielder has to take like a couple steps.
We're in the StatCast era. You know, now MLB right. has data just open to the public that they write about in your morning emails every day at this point about a player swing and how it works and their bat speed. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much information on all these hitters now. It's sort of a cat and mouse game. Baseball always has. That's, you know, the shift that was mm-hmm. part of that. And now you see players, they're still shifting in the infield as much as they can.
And I feel like the next thing that will come, and maybe I'm just hopeful because I really, really want to see it, is getting rid of the cards on the field.
Yeah.
It's the easiest solution to the problem. You know, essentially make it like it used to be. You got to do your homework in between games, between series, while you're in the dugout, you make adjustments, you learn.
Absolutely.
Or have a coach yell at you from the dugout. One of the reasons that we saw as many changes over the last few years is that Major League Baseball wants the ball in play so that these incredible athletes are showing off how great they are. It's kind of a clunky way to say it, but that's effectively what they were going for.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's the one thing holding Major League Baseball back from ascending back to the olden days when it was the most important sport in the country, but I think that would make a huge difference.
I think it would also help if somebody started dating Taylor Swift in the MLB.
I can't argue with that, because that's logic.
Yeah! It's Jersey Watch time.
What you got?
We had the Cleveland Guardians with, by far, the worst City Connect jersey I've ever seen in my entire human life, which is not very long, considering that City Connect jerseys are a new concept.
Mm-hmm.
And the St. Louis Cardinals, which are not far behind. Now, that being said, I'm not from either of these cities, so who am I to say whether a City Connect is good or not? Mm-hmm. I just have a appreciation for Cleveland as like a very gritty, sort of seen better days Midwestern city, one that's sort of trying to rebound, sort of similar to Detroit, obviously not to the same scale, but the marketing forum and like this fun website that my Chromebook does not load very well is really cool. But the jerseys themselves are just not executed for what I think the city of Cleveland deserves in a baseball jersey about it.
Yeah.
I think the block letters is like a NBA few years ago thing that teams don't really do anymore. The three block letters across the front.
Mm-hmm.
I know you and I kind of talked earlier. I'm surprised they don't say the land on them. They just say CLE, which I know is also something that they refer to Cleveland as, but it doesn't look quite as scrappy as I think a Cleveland jersey should look given its history.
Yes.
It just looks like Nike made another uniform and then stuck a marathon advertisement on the side of it.
Yeah, it almost looks like they forgot that Cleveland had a baseball team. And they had to do a City Connect jersey for them.
Yeah, it does.
You're more of a font guy than I am.
That's fair.
It's not a particularly good look. I certainly can't argue in favor of it. The hat's fine.
I like the hat.
The hat's kind of cool.
Yeah, I just think...
Yeah, the rest of it's just...
I like Cleveland. I think Cleveland's really cool, and I think their jerseys do not represent Cleveland very well. That being said, again, I'm not from there, so who am I to say?
I will say it's not the laziest effort.
That's very true. At least they look like a different uniform than every other one they have, unlike the Cardinals.
Correct. Now, the STL on the hat, it's classy. I like, I'm I'm enjoying the theme of like a classy, less complicated hat. But I mean, it's literally just a Cardinals jersey that says the Lou. And to your point about NBA jerseys, like, that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is essentially the Golden State Warriors putting the city, or whatever they did.
Yes.
For their jerseys. But even less of a change of the actual jersey itself. The same bat with the same Cardinals on either side of it. Correct me if I'm wrong, font man. But the Lou is in the same font, no?
It is. It's so safe. Right. I mean, one, if a British person sees this baseball jersey, they are going to find it very confusing.
Gross and misspelled.
Yeah. Yes. Very confusing. The pinstripes are almost impossible to see unless you know you're looking for them. The wavy pinstripes on the jersey, it looks too much just like an alternate uniform. I feel like with Cleveland's and St. Louis, the intro videos for their jerseys and the graphics and the websites for them, Nike nailed the marketing for them, but they forgot to nail the thing they're selling.
Classic. They spend all the money on marketing and none of it on the product design.
Right. I think of these cities as way better than their City Connect jerseys are.
The City Connects are supposed to be a particular point of pride to celebrate the areas that these teams represent in a more specific and striking way than their uniforms already do.
Right.
I feel like this is page one. This uniform is like page one of what they were going to do.
Yeah, it feels like this was
and
like
they
first
just
draft
didn't
stuff.
Do anything else.
And then the yeah. essay was due in a couple hours and they didn't have time to make another draft.
Yeah, and they like fell asleep or something, or they're like, eh, I'll take the C-.
Yeah, this is whatever. Like college paper level material.
It's confusing. But I also wouldn't be surprised if St. Louis fans loved it.
That's the thing. Like I said, it's not even really my position to complain about. The only ones I feel like I have the right to give an opinion on is Seattle's. But, you know, mm-hmm. what else are you going to talk about? Yep. They're jerseys. They're fun.
My least favorite, and I have a hard time believing that it's going to get worse than this, is the Padres.
That's fair.
It makes me think of Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and then it makes me think of Miami, and then I'm not thinking of the Padres anymore. I know it's supposed to be a sunset and like all that kind of stuff.
That's fair.
I'm not unaware of that.
Well, anyway, I don't know what gaps we covered. We talked about four of the baseball teams, but hey.
I mean,
I'll count it.
We're not quite to the place where we can have a 90-minute podcast three times a week. And if people really want us to talk about a team, they know where to let us know.
Well, I'll leave you on this. Washington Nationals, you've now been mentioned in the podcast.
Go Nationals!
The end.